Buying a car can feel like guesswork. Is it really the right price, or should you wait? With Car Gurus, you get unbiased deal ratings, price change history, and trusted dealer reviews, so you can spot a great deal and buy with confidence. Go to cargurus.co.uk for complete vehicle details without any surprises. That's cargurus.co.uk. Cargurus.co.uk. Car Gurus. Search. Buy. Sorted.
Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Villanueva, and alongside me, as always, my player two and Mr. Luigi himself, Mr. Spencer Williams.
Yeah, Luigi. You know, sometimes I would just plug in an extra controller just to play as Luigi.
Why?
Because I want to play as Luigi.
That's sad.
It's sad no one gets to play with him.
Speaking of no playtime makes Jack a crazy person, we got managing intern Amy with us.
Yes, that's true. And please forgive me, I have allergies and I sound like this.
Which, mind you, just before we went on air, she was talking normally, and then now she just turns it up.
No, this is still me talking normally. I can change it. I can go deeper.
Speaking of change,
like
we're going to change this conversation to the actual conversation we're going to be talking about, and that is the recently dropped film from Nintendo, The Super Mario Galaxy Movie. I keep forgetting that's the whole title.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Super Mario Galaxy Movie. So stick around as we dive into that, give you our thoughts, our opinions, and even some of our educated thoughts as far as where this movie ranks with other video game movies, because Spencer has opinions. But before we do any of that, Spencer, why don't you give us them official opening credits?
Tune in to brand new episodes each and every week.
Week.
On all your favorite streaming platforms and on our website at FilmLosophersPodcast.com. Also, connect with us on socials at Facebook.com/FilmLosophers and on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at FilmLosophers101. Also, we're on Blue Sky at FilmLosophers Podcast. Come check us out.
You okay there?
Yeah,
Blue
I'm fine.
Sky.
It's been a week.
Okay, yes. We got a website. If you head on over to our website at FilmLosophersPodcast.com, there we got allegedly over 300 episodes, everything from action, anime, comedy, suspense, thrills, and chills. If you're looking for it, we got it. Head on over to our website at FilmLosophersPodcast.com. You can also check us out wherever podcasts are streaming, and that's iTunes, Libsyn, Player FM, Audio Boom, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, iHeart, Amazon Music. You can tune into your heart's desire on any one of those platforms. Look for us there at The Filmlosophers. Give us a like or a subscribe. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star review. We have earned it.
We have.
Yes, please.
We'll give you the rest of the social links at the end of the episode. This has been a week, Spencer. It has. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened there. You kind of froze for a, not froze, but like it, like something popped
buffering.
In your
head.
Okay, so
buffering.
What happened was, I got Amy a tea, but then I didn't get us anything.
Yeah.
I totally just
realized. I realized that while we were sitting, I'm like, I need a drink.
Yeah.
Would
and
you
I'm
like a drink of mine?
No, I don't want any of your tainted tea. Why would I want
tainted tea? Oh, sorry.
No. So speaking of tainted. Or taint. We're gonna switch gears. I don't know what she watched, but apparently Amy has finally seen some more movies for Streaming is for Lovers. Who knows what that's gonna look like? Okay. We haven't even seen the other ones. No, we haven't.
Have an offline there was conversation.
There's only one. There's only one that you guys agreed to.
Right. No, there was two.
No, you only agreed to one.
Oh, that's because you only did two episodes of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tried.
Yeah,
I've watched.
Mind you,
this
segment started in November.
Did it?
Because
yeah,
it was yeah.
This last year.
We were trying to figure out an alternative to the Christmas thing that we were going to do.
Mm. Yeah, because I was
and
you guys
you were
in
supposed
that.
To get all the. We were hoping the new year was going to be better, Spencer. We really got to talk to HR about them KPIs because I mean we're just. Streaming is for Lovers. Yeah. Why don't you tell us your next two that we probably won't see for a while?
Probably won't see.
We'll see them at some point.
Do you know what?
At some point.
You could.
We,
I mean,
she said we could.
You could. You don't have to.
What,
that
is that, what does that mean?
So,
that sounds like a threat.
So there's. So
are we being threatened with movies?
I mean, you could. You could. But you know what? I think I'll give you three because one of these I would harden.
That's not how this works. It works on a 2x2 basis.
This is not Noah's Ark.
Yes, it is. Yes.
When did it become Noah's Ark?
When you stop following through with what you were supposed to be doing.
One or the other.
Do you want Keanu Reeves or not Keanu Reeves?
I mean, no.
Wait, like, did you say yes?
Okay, hold on. Why would you add three? Because it seems like,
because
you know,
Keanu Reeves isn't one of them.
So then just give us one and one.
Ones that don't have Keanu on it.
Yeah, just give us one and then the one that has Keanu Reeves in it. Why would you want to throw in a third one? Okay. Who deserves that kind of desperation?
Rachel Lee Cook.
Okay. She was famous once. Okay.
She still kind of is. She's all that. If you're thinking Rachel Lee Cook. Mm. Josie and the Pussycats.
Mm.
Again.
Okay.
Nobody.
If it is Josie and the Pussycats, I'll say no.
It's not Josie and the Pussycats because that was not a movie, a romantic.
By the way,
I didn't see it. So I don't
by
know.
The way, quick note: that's one of Amy's favorite films, and it is god awful.
It is
a massive
so
just commercial.
It literally is. It's
if
not
you
even a
think Santa Claus the movie is a big commercial for Coke,
I mean, I thought it was.
This movie is just a big commercial
for
everything. It is god awful.
Target.
Why was Tide getting into that?
Mac and me shows up at McDonald's again. Just saying.
It is terrible and great.
So what are you serving us today?
Okay, so today. Yes.
I don't know where this is going. I thought this was going to be normal.
We're going to lead off with that one. So the first one I'm going to give you guys is.
No, please don't.
I figured it out. Oh, no.
Spencer, you tried so hard. We got so far, but in the end, you figured it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one's going to be from 2023.
Why are you looking up? Are there numbers on the wall?
Oh, no, because I went to say 2003 instead of 2023. But this one is going to be called A Tourist's Guide to Love.
Pitch the movie.
Okay.
Man. Listen, Kevin James, just because you're throwing one out there doesn't mean it's worth watching.
Solo meal. Not going to see that.
Nobody is.
Hold on. I had to turn it the other way because I wrote, okay, so after an unexpected breakup, a travel exec goes undercover in Vietnam to take over a small tour line, only to find her carefully curated itinerary tossed out the window by the handsome tour guide who's determined to show her the best way to see the world. And her life is to lose the guidebook and get lost.
Okay.
What is this, like Eat, Pray, Love or something?
Like, my first question is, was this on like Hallmark or a related channel like
that? So here's the thing. The rules were it had to be made by Netflix. So this was not made by Hallmark.
Mind you, she made up these rules.
Because there are so many Hallmark. There's another one for the three wise men and a baby.
Yeah, we know that. We know they made a sequel.
No, they made a third one.
Who cares?
The baby is not growing. Spencer, the baby is not growing.
The baby's not growing?
Nope.
What? I don't know how to respond to that.
You know, you had three men and a baby and three men and a little lady.
Yeah.
You don't get the little lady. The baby is still a baby in the next iteration of the wife.
So it's only like, you know, a week has passed since movie two.
Apparently, but it's still Christmas. Anyway, so this one is
Vietnam, just so you know.
In hopes of, you know, after her bad breakup, she's trying to take over a small tour company, but she's like, oh, a handsome tour guide, huh? And
So you've already said so questions.
Yes.
Why did you watch this movie?
Rachel Lee Cook and Missy Pyle.
Those aren't good enough reasons, but if they're good enough for you, I guess. No. That's your answer. No.
My follow up to that question is, if you swapped those two people out, would you still watch this movie?
No.
Okay. I have my answer. Me too. I vote not to watch this movie.
I also vote not to.
That's okay.
That was hot trash in a handbasket.
It was interesting because I also didn't really know anything
about
Vietnam.
You watched it because of people. You didn't watch it because of the movie.
Sometimes we watch movies because of people.
And then we complain about them afterwards.
No, see, this one.
Well, no.
I was about to say, I have one that I didn't.
What is your next film?
Okay, so sorry, Rachel Lee Cook. You may have stopped the aging process. She could be.
She's definitely, yeah.
You may have stopped the aging process, but apparently we're passing on your latest rom-com. But it's not a remake of
She's
All That.
It's not recent. You said it was 2023.
Yeah.
That's recent.
That is recent.
I would consider 3 years within
3 years is more recent-ish.
Yeah, recent-ish.
Meanwhile, the next one we're going back to is 2019.
Wait, hold on. Yes. When is recent for you?
Oh, that's a
this
question.
Year or last year?
That's cutting off kind of close.
If it was in the you know the 2020s, then yeah, I can say it's around then. But like you don't say recent. I mean, what are we grasping at the bits of youth that we still have here to say it's recent-ish?
The clock's ticking. Of course we are.
No kidding, but still exactly. Talking like for someone who doesn't like the English language, you sure like to bend it to your will over there.
That's recent-ish. What the English language recent-ish. Is. It's whatever you want it to be. There are no rules.
So then you have no right to complain.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
There's no rules.
You're like
that.
King Louie-ing this. Like, yeah, of course. And wiggling arms. And it's like, inflatable waving.
Whatever.
This is how that happens.
All right,
all the
come
time.
On. Don't you have another one?
Yeah, so that we're going back. God. This is not recent-ish, but it's 2019's always being my main.
That's not recent-ish.
Not recent-ish.
So, okay. No, you know what? Because that is, no, that just is go. 2019, the year before the Fire Nation attack. Got
it. Yes. Which is even more entertaining. But so always be my maybe. Famous chef Sasha and I'm getting like a whole bunch of text messages that's throwing me off. Famous chef Sasha and hometown Marcus reunite after 15 years of awkward silence, only to discover while their lives are worlds apart, their old spark is still simmering. It's a spicy tale of rekindled flings, celebrity cameos, looking at you, Keanu. And the realization that sometimes the one who got away
is this the
was
one
just
with
waiting for
Ali
you to,
Wong and
to
Randall
recognize
Park
that they liked you when you still thought Pogs were cool. Yes, yes.
This is the one with Ali Wong and Randall Park.
Yes, and Randall Park raps. Daniel Day-Kim is in it. So when you brought up the whole Fire Nation tax, I was like, Daniel Day-Kim is in it. And it is kind of a love letter to the Bay. They're in San Francisco and the Bay Area. And
we're not.
No.
So it doesn't. I'm like no shade to the Bay, but
no shade to the Bay, but Keanu Reeves.
He's not from the Bay.
No, he's not.
He lives in New York. He takes the subway.
But yeah, he's being a really
Spencer.
Big
I will let you ask the first question because I don't even. I'm regretting doing this segment.
You regret everything that I do.
Aw, like that.
Aw.
I'm waiting for him to. Where's the rest of it? Like, aw, pobrecito. Aww. Yeah. Aww. I'm used to this. Aww. Spencer, your query? Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, that's not really Randall a query, Park. But okay.
Yeah, so I guess I don't really have a question because this one sounds like as bad as the first one.
It really does.
I mean, this one's super. So there's a sequence in here where it's super awkward, where they're supposed to be teenagers, but they're age. So it's Ali Wong in a park, and you're like, no, you guys were not teenagers in 2003, and we can see that. And Ali Wong really aggressively sings.
Wait, is it trying to say that they were teenagers in 2003?
Yeah, but it's like no joke. She's doing a very bad, like awkward, trying to sing "How Does It Feel" by D'Angelo. She has braces on, and I think they actually put her in braces for this couple of scenes. And I'm like, that.
I feel like it'd be cheaper just to find a kid, like
a teenager, right?
Yeah.
Randall Park was born in 1974.
I know.
So they're kind of about like a decade and a half short on that.
I know, which made that moment even more awkward, and I appreciated that. But don't worry, the younger selves them are actually different kids, so it's not them just being like. Look at me in my dungarees.
Okay, so I can see why you added three to this week.
Yep. And I appreciate that you recognize my intent to try to help support this.
You know what? You know what, Spencer? I'm going to ask the same question you asked. Okay. If it didn't have Randall Park and Ali Wong in this, would you still have watched it?
Yes.
Why?
For Keanu.
Hey.
Yeah, no,
but
I
he's a
that.
Cameo. I thought he wasn't actually in the movie; he's just in there for as a cameo role.
Well, he's in there for a little longer than
he
a
plays
cameo.
Himself, right?
He does play himself.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm
which
gonna
is
be
even
my
funnier.
Original question before I got turned off of the movie was how long is Keanu in the movie?
For probably almost 30 minutes.
Oh wow!
Are you sure?
I can do the Googles. I can look at the Googles because
now,
it's long enough.
The question is,
Daniel
Spencer,
Day-Kim is in it less question, time than Keanu Reeves is, and yeah, that I would consider a cameo.
The question we have to ask is, on the scale of how much Keanu makes a movie magic.
Oh, but
do
this,
you is it to the scale of Bill and Ted, kind of, he's a part of it and makes it magic, or is it to the scale of he voices a
trying to Duke Kaboom this? Because let's be Duke Kaboom.
Excuse me.
Toy Story
we're talking here. We're trying to figure out whether or not if we're moving forward to the next
stage. On the scale of Keanu to Keanu.
So on the scale of, you know, Keanu and the Matrix being magic, and Keanu being one of those what are those dried bushes that roll through
tumbleweeds?
A tumbleweed in the SpongeBob movie.
That was right. Which again, that was shorter than the time he's in this movie. Mm.
But again, that did not make the movie magic, even though he was in it. Him being fully in the Matrix makes movie magic. Like, where does that scale become where this much involvement is the last straw to any kind of Keanu magic in a movie?
I think, actually, this equally pairs probably close to, like, Harold and Kumar with Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Like, if he's in there, maybe, like, that amount, you could probably...
Now, are you compounding all the movies with his appearance, or are you just
talking about the first one.
Now, he's in that movie for quite a bit.
Yes.
Like, I want to say at least for 45 minutes.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's
comparable.
In the ballpark.
Yeah.
But now we got to talk about the other factors. Does everything else that's not Keanu Reeves in that movie take away from the Keanu Reeves magic that he brings to the movie?
Okay, so what? All right, so here's the problem. Is that this movie sounds like it's awkward. Yeah, I got that from the eyebrow raise. And I'm like, if it wasn't, I feel like it probably would have worked better.
See,
if I'm trying to see Randall Park try to be a teenager in 2003,
and he's rapping for like that doesn't a good help majority the situation. Of this movie.
Okay.
I love this.
Yeah, I think I have my answer. What about you?
Yeah.
You go first.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, probably not for me. It's a no for me, dog. Do you have your...
I should have said that.
True. yeah, well, I guess that... Are you bringing it? I don't know if we have time for
the third
one. No, we don't have time. We're already into this episode. We spent way too much time.
This one anyway, just off the bat.
Then save it for the next one.
Excellent, because if you guys say yes to this, I'm going to be so mad.
All right. Well, that is Amy's Streaming is for Lovers. Be on the lookout for the episode to us actually seeing these movies sometime in 2028, because that's how long it's going to take for Amy to actually get us to watch it.
This segment is always such a mess.
It is.
I love it.
Like, either she doesn't know what she's pitching to us.
Or that it is a mess. Love is a messy business.
And when it is
commandeered by Netflix, it most certainly is always not acceptable.
True.
I think when it was commandeered by you, it became a mess.
I mean, it's Netflix, though.
Netflix was like, hey, let's have conversations, and giving up initially early in their run, which I'm noticing they gave opportunities to a lot of original content for like romantic things. So one of the first ones that I've recommended that y'all noped was actually like really good and genuine.
Then I guess that puts it on you then, because you didn't display it properly.
No, I tried to, and you said, no, you need to pitch it to us like it's a...
Yeah, you didn't pitch it properly.
Yeah, and I was talking about it being like a...
So anyway, we're going to...
This is like your own personal pitch meeting.
Yeah, that's what I keep saying.
Whoopsies.
And she keeps... Whoopsies. I need you to get
off my back about that.
I mean...
I need you to get way off my back.
I mean, you know, hey... Well, speaking of which, that brings us to the conversation
whoopsies. Oh, no.
What?
That brings us to our conversation of the evening, and that is our take on the recently dropped Nintendo film that many people have been anticipating, and that is the Super Mario Galaxy movie. This has been a film that everybody's been excited to see. This is the sequel to the smash hit film that was dropped in 2023,
yep.
I believe. And actually caught a lot of us by surprise. Despite Chris Pratt being a part of the problem, or the project, I mean.
The whoopsie.
So we got a chance to check out the latest film. It just dropped, and we're excited to talk about it. So before we move any further, Spencer, why don't you give us that official synopsis goodness?
Having thwarted Bowser's previous plot to marry Princess Peach, Mario and Luigi now face a fresh threat in Bowser Jr., who is determined to liberate his father from captivity and restore the family legacy. Alongside companions new and old, the brothers travel across the stars to stop their younger heir's crusade.
Directed by Aaron Horvath, Michael Jelinek, Pierre Leduc, and written by Matthew Fogel, the film welcomes back returning stars Chris Pratt, Charlie Day, Anya Taylor-Joy, Keegan-Michael Key, and Jack Black, as well as adding Brie Larson, Benny Safdie, and Donald Glover to the fray. A couple key pieces of information regarding the film. This film was first publicly announced on September 12, 2025 on the Nintendo Direct that was released on YouTube to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the video game Super Mario Bros., which was released back in 1985.
We weren't alive.
The Mario Galaxy duology coming to the Nintendo Switch was announced that same day. So 40-year anniversary from 2025. The game has been around, obviously, for a while. But it's still so noteworthy, and people are still willing to gravitate toward it because it's a good game. I mean, the bones of it are really great, and it's still a retro game that people are still playing even today, especially with the likes of Nintendo Online through the Switch and whatnot, where you can play emulators and so forth. So, another key piece of information about the movie: Rosalina and Bowser Jr. makes their first non-video game appearance in this film, as well as this being their first animated film for their respective voice actors. In fact, prior to getting the part of Rosalina, Brie Larson had been a longtime fan of the Mario franchise herself for some time, even as far as being featured at few Nintendo-related events. So it's good to know that you have people who actually are part of the franchise, or the fandom at least, and love the game.
Yeah, I actually remember when like she was announced, and like she had some presence. She was... like, you know how most actors are like, yeah, I'm happy to be a part of this press. No, she was excited.
Mm-hmm.
The press junket, they went. So in the first one, they had everybody play Mario Kart, right? Mm-hmm. In this one, they were playing Super Mario, the Mario Kart World. Mm. And Chris Pratt was like, Brie, I got to ask you something. She's like, I'm driving. I don't have time for this. And she said, it was so great. But it's literally, she's like, I'm locked in. Leave me alone, guys.
Isn't there a story about her from like a while back where like her one of her ex-boyfriends like got upset at her because she was playing video games? She was playing Mario Kart and told her to, like, there was something along those lines. And she's like, And yeah, we were done after that point.
Yeah, she told him to leave. Like, fantastic. She broke up with him because he wouldn't let her finish playing her video game.
Another key piece of information about the movie: through the majority of the film, though the majority of the film takes place in Mario Galaxy and Mario Odyssey game locations, there are callbacks to Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario 3, and Yoshi's Island. So there are plenty of callbacks throughout this movie, and we'll talk a little bit about them. As we're going to be diving deep into this review, obviously there will be a few little things that we have to be mindful of, so we're not giving away full spoilers, but you've been warned there's going to be mild spoilers in this episode.
We're trying our best, but the internet will beat us to it.
Yeah, and if you're one of those types of people who likes to look for those types of things, that's a you problem, not us. Before we dive into this, we want to make sure you understand we all here are avid video game players. We have been gamers since probably before you were born. Most of you, but probably. I think out of this group here, what's the earliest game console you guys have owned when you were kids?
Super Nintendo.
Technically.
So hold on one second. So your Super Nintendo, did you guys buy that around the time when Super Nintendo came out?
Okay. Yeah.
It wasn't like you were still living at home in 2002 and you got a Super Nintendo and you're like, oh, yay.
No.
I'm just checking. Okay.
Still, it was like still in high school. Why would they kick me out?
I don't. I didn't say kick you out. You're still home.
I mean, he said still. Like, man, you're still here, kid. Get out and get a job.
True. Yeah, 100%. They told me that. So. What about you, Ames?
So officially, my household, the first console when I was a kid was an N64. However, I played a lot of video games online. I commandeered things. Yeah.
Okay. So my dad was actually a big gamer. He liked to buy a lot of those kinds of things. Why are you putting your what?
I'm listening.
I was like, she was like getting ready to like wrong. Actually, no, it just
I
looked.
I don't
like
know
that.
Your father like that.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know how big of a video game player he is. I just know that he pops in locks. No one can see this.
Thankfully, no, he liked to play video games too. So he bought. We had an Atari in the house, and then right after the Atari, we had the regular Nintendo, the NES, and then I didn't get a Super Nintendo. I got a Sega Genesis. Mm-hmm. We were a Genesis household, so we didn't have any, and everything kind of veered towards that direction mostly until, no, I didn't even get a 64.
What about a GameCube?
No, again, it went from... Then the vast amount of Nintendo that I had while I was a kid pretty much made it up to just the Nintendo, the NES. Mm. Because I had a Genesis, I had a Sega Saturn, and then I had then we were a PlayStation now, so I had the PS1, PS2, and then I had a Dreamcast. And then I left the house.
But you left the consoles.
Huh?
You left the consoles there, though.
Well, I moved from Texas all the way over here. Not everything made it, and I couldn't keep everything because I had to sell some stuff, so.
But what, did you get like a big PS2 or like the little thin PS2? Because you could put those in a
we
jacket
had both.
And roll with it.
No. We had the PS2s here.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure they're probably in storage, but we had both. We had the bigger one and then I got a one of those fat boy PS3s. Mm-hmm. So I had the bigger boy.
Hey, those are the ones that could play PS2 games.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the
they were backwards
ones.
Compatible.
Yes.
But I think as far as like my household just wasn't a Nintendo household. And I don't know if that was by choice or by price range. I don't know. But yeah. So yeah. But as far as games are concerned, let's talk about Mario. Now, I know we have... talked a little about this when we reviewed the first film. I don't know if anybody knows the episode number for that one. We talked a little bit about our Mario history that time around, but times have changed.
Just a little.
And I think there's been updates to as far as like where people's Mario history kind of lands. And so I think I want to start with Spencer. Spencer, what would you say is like, what are some of your more memorable Mario game experiences? Like, you don't have to name the actual experience, but like with which game?
And it's lesson 350, the Super Mario Bros. B plus P equals forever. No joke. That's what it says.
Okay. All right. So it narrows down to three games. Super Mario World. Because that one like was really expansive.
That was
me
the Super Nintendo.
The time. Yeah. Like, because like, you know, you had the overworld and you were going through
didn't
it.
Beat, you know, Sonic and Tails.
Yeah, I wasn't a Sonic house, so I don't you know anything about Sonic. Well, actually, no. My uncle actually had a Genesis, so I got to play a little
we
bit.
We got blood in Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
That's why I wasn't allowed to be around those.
I didn't have Mortal Kombat on my Nintendo, so I was like, eh. Yeah, so that and then Mario Galaxy, actually. That game had a lot going for it because it was actually the first Mario game to have a symphonic score, like actual orchestra. Yeah.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It was really great.
So Mario Galaxy had it, but Mario 64 didn't? Mario was still...
No, that was MIDI.
That was still MIDI?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And it's fun.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's something.
Because that was... one of the nice things about Odyssey, which is my third one, is that like by the time you actually end up in the Mushroom Kingdom, like they had like, you know, an actual orchestral arrangement of Peach's Castle, which was,
aww,
I think, the first time we've had that.
Hmm.
That makes me happy.
As far as myself, because I'm going to leave Amy for last because she's probably have the most updated amount of information here. If I'm looking at my favorite, I'm just a huge fan of every Mario Kart. I've loved like the ensemble kind of play with Mario Kart all the way back to Mario Kart 64. Just having all of those modalities and the crispness of the way it looked then. I loved it. We used to have a kid. So my parents were teachers. And so on days or work weeks where the kids were out, like the kids were out of school, but the teachers had like in-service or something, we would still be there. So they would stick all the teacher kids into like one classroom. And there was always that one kid who would bring like his 64 or the other kids who would bring like their whatever system and we would all play. And I remember for a summer, I got hooked on Mario Kart 64 and just, I played the bejesus out of that kid's console. and mind you, he played with me, so but I learned a lot. But that was one of my first and best experiences with him. And as far as liking like the character, I've always enjoyed the previous ones. But again, my full area of expertise was limited based off of the NES. Mm. I didn't actually play any of the other like Super Nintendo games until afterwards when I actually had money to like either buy the system or like buy my own, like buy the emulator, things like that. Mm. And then I think my second greatest experience with Mario has to be again with the 64, Super Smash. Mm. Super Smash was, I believe, because Smash Melee was with GameCube, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, Super Smash, absolute banger of a game. I just fell in love. Like I actually used Mario on the 64 when I would play. Those are my experiences. Again, there's other games that I could talk about, but I know that there's somebody else here at the table who's finally experienced some of those games, and I kind of want to give the floor over to her.
Because she sucks at jumping, and she already knows it. I always have. I have a terrible issue with platformers. I'm really good at backseat gaming, but but when it comes to like, I need to be alone because I don't like other people doing that to me. So it's hilarious. So N64 at our house for Christmas, the year that came out, we did have Super Mario 64 and Mario Kart, which was absolutely amazing. I remember trying to go to the arcade and do Donkey Kong, and we had, my brother was given a Game Boy Color, and we had Super Mario Brothers. Sorry, it is itchy. Allergies are great, which I realized then and there, I really do suck at jumping and 2D side-scrollers. But so Mario, all the Mario parties I could get my hands on, Mario Kart. I was a default Kirby player when it comes to Smash Bros. I still kind of am. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, don't touch me. Leave me alone. Float, float, float. And then more recently, as I got the money and moved out, I went backwards and I started trying to collect a whole bunch of different consoles, which meant a whole bunch of different games. But yes, recently I took up Mario Odyssey, and boy, is that thing fun.
Ooh.
And I still suck at jumping, but I'm doing a lot better. True. I'm really proud of it, except when Eddie watches me and I panic and I'm just like, ugh, I'm dying.
And I'm like, I just want to watch. And she's like, hey. And then it's very
stage fright. Stage right.
I think it's something medical, because like what happens almost seems like a complete crash out. And I walk into the room and I'm like looking at the TV and she's like, what are you watching? Why are you watching this? What's happening? Oh my God.
Well, my favorite part is when he just goes, just jump. And I'm like, I'm trying. He's like, jump better. And I'm like, no. Yeah. I'm like, I really am trying. I stink at it. Just please be gentle. And no, that's never happening. But I didn't, it really is not happening. So I haven't played Mario Galaxy yet. I have Mario or Paper Mario somewhere.
Which one?
I
think it's on the GameCube.
Oh, A Thousand Year Door?
Yeah.
Okay.
But needless to say, when it comes to Nintendo, like we went out, I got a Wii, we have the N64. And then we still have the Nintendo DS. We have somewhere in the house. There's a Game Boy Color. It's green. But yeah, I am slowly continuing to tiptoe my way through Mario games as well as like Zelda.
Specifically Mario Odyssey because she still has yet to finish it.
I just don't want people watching me.
She's literally yeah.
Play in handheld mode.
Oh, but I like being aggressively able to shake like it's maracas because it makes you go farther. So and I'm not going to sit there and shake the entire console, Spencer.
That is true.
You would appreciate it. Okay, like,
table top, put it on a table. Just box yourself off, and then you have your maracas.
Or put a box over your head and play it. You know, right there.
You could actually do that.
When he said that, both of us were like, "That is not a bad option. That's not terrible."
So obviously, we all have our vast experiences.
Okay, I'm sorry, we have to go back to that. It is terrible. You can't be in your room with a box on your head.
Spencer, isn't there something that was like there was supposed to be a 5-minute hack where they're like, oh, do you want your own personal theater? And they cut a hole or something and attached rubber bands. They cut a hole in the top of a box and they put rubber bands in it. And then you could put your phone in there and lay down on your bed and put the box over your head.
That was 5-minute crafts. And those people were literally insane. I don't understand. Kind of are. We don't have time to get into
that. We do, but that's an extra credit episode, and that's how we ended up with a castle for Christmas.
I don't know what's going on with this episode.
Mario! Anyway, Mario!
So, speaking of which, we all got a chance. So, we all have our history with Mario. Apparently, some a little bit more turbulent than others. But we all have our experiences, and so we all got a chance to check out the movie.
Together,
actually. And so, we'll give you our thoughts, our first impressions, right after we come back from these messages. And we're back with Amy burning herself with her tea.
My lip.
She looked like a mummy for a second there.
Thanks.
So we are going to jump into our first impressions. We all got a chance to check out the movie. We all saw it together, as Amy stated before we went to our messages. And we all left at the same time.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and go on the table and talk about those first impressions, starting with Amy.
Well, if we're going to... Did you want expectations or you want impressions?
We talked about expectations while the video game talk.
On the video game talk. Really? I missed that part. Look at me missing a lot of things. first impressions. It was good. There was lots of different things that I feel because I didn't play more games, like more recent games, that I was missing some like inside jokes.
Odyssey is the most recent game currently.
I mean, yeah. But there were things I recognized from Odyssey, which I was excited about. But like, I never played Galaxy. And I felt like I was missing something in that. So, first impressions, I felt like I was kind of missing something. And this wasn't bad. However, I felt like I was missing something.
I'll go ahead and go next because I want Spencer to go last because I want Spencer to do his crash out thing. So... I thought it was good. I don't know if it executed as well as the first one, but then also expectations were a little different from the first one to this one. So, and I'll explain a little bit more what I mean as we go along. I thought it was good. I thought it was fun, but I don't know if it quite hit that caliber of where we left off at with the last movie? ? So I'll leave it at that, and I'll send it over to the... avid gamer, the angry video game nerd, as we will.
I don't appreciate that comparison right now.
You're welcome. Spencer, what was your first impression of this movie right after you left?
We have to back up slightly.
Oh boy. See, this is exactly why.
Yeah, so about, I want to say, 4 or 5 days
1986. I opened my eyes.
So 4 or 5 days before the movie came out.
Okay.
Out of nowhere, like, Nintendo just spoils the fact that Star Fox is in the movie.
We needed a sheep for that moment, but yes.
Yeah.
We did talk about
it. Well, it's a promotion. Like, that doesn't count as, like, spoilers because it's, like, promotional material.
They made an official announcement.
Which was insane. So I was already kind of mad coming into this movie because I'm like, you didn't have to do that. You already had your final trailer. That's it. Why are we doing this, you know? So coming, like, after the movie... I am frustrated.
Yeah, I knew it.
Because I sat through the whole thing. I'm like, you didn't have to tell me that. Without getting super into it,
Oh, we're going to get super into it.
This is Super Mario Bros.
I'm a little
perturbed,
upset or perturbed.
Let the man talk.
About some of the musical choices for this movie.
Oh, so your frustrations are based in the musical choices.
A little bit.
Okay, okay.
Like, well, I do want to, like, Brian Tyler did a good job, yeah. And there definitely were, like, motifs. But, like, I'll get more into it later on.
Sorry. Yeah, it sounds like a whole bag of beans we're going to have to dive into with that one. So let's kind of talk about first some of the key characters. Obviously, we see a lot of the returning characters, such as Chris Pratt as the voice of Mario, Charlie Day as the voice of Luigi, Anya Taylor-Joy as the voice of Princess Peach, Keegan-Michael Key as Toad, and Jack Black as Bowser. Mm-hmm. Really, I don't think there's anything that stands out as far as those particular characters. Chris Pratt still, for me, he does okay, but I feel like he's still really trying to lay on that, like, Italian...
The faux-Italian?
The faux-Italian kind of nature of the character. Mm-hmm. When I don't remember it being that heavy in the first film. Do you guys? I don't recall it being, like, as heavy.
I mean... I still feel like it shouldn't have been Chris Pratt. So I was just, so coming to this movie, I was just like, it is what it is. Like,
okay.
And so, like, if he has changed, it might have just been something I glossed over because I'm like, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I too, of the Pratt train, still have not recovered from that burnout.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, he's in this. Though I will give props because apparently my brain was like, is Charlie Day talking a lot more as Luigi? Because it feels like there's a lot more screen time for Luigi. And I love this.
I love Charlie Day as Luigi. He's doing great.
I think Charlie Day is a super underrated actor.
Hmm.
And to give him more opportunities to be not like crash out Charlie Day, not like the full neurotic Charlie Day, but for him to actually just be a performer. One of my favorite movies or performances he's ever done has got to be his effort in Fist Fight, the movie he did with Ice Cube.
Oh, I've never seen that.
So they both play teachers.
Oh, Lord.
At a school, but something happens and he ultimately pisses off Ice Cube, who's like, I forget what kind of teacher he is, but he pisses off Ice Cube and Ice Cube's ultimately like, you know, after school, Fist Fight, like they're kids. And Charlie Day is freaking out about it, but he's like trying to figure out like how to avoid this whole situation. He's tried apologizing. All the other teachers are afraid of him because it's Ice Cube.
Yeah.
And at one point in time, he actually leaves the school because he goes to his daughter's performance. And that's where she does that whole performance with that. I don't give a.
Oh, the one where they start, where they're dancing?
Yeah, where they're dancing. That's where that movie's from.
Oh. Yeah.
It's a funny scene. It's a funny movie. But I liked his comedic nature in it. It wasn't super neurotic. It was about solving a problem. And I don't think he gets as much attention or even celebration as much as he should. Because he's a good actor.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah, agreed.
The other particular actor that's in there that I think really has kind of blossomed as more than just the side character, Keegan-Michael Key.
His tone is so delightful.
He's just super fun. And I think in this one, his character has definitely moved to like main character status. Mm-hmm. There's a particular scene of him and two other people and Yoshi where they saw it in the trailer, but where he encounters the dinosaur. That whole sequence was hilarious.
Agreed. I think Keegan-Michael Key is always a delight, but this was just more like, hey, Toe, what's up? Like, he didn't feel cameo. Like, again, when we talk about cameos, it's the length of time. And for him, I was like, I could use more Toad in this too. Like, I think that was the other thing that I was just looking for. I was like, give me some more.
Mm.
Just opportunities. Just talk, bud. I want to hear you talk.
I think Anya Taylor-Joy probably has the most progress as a character, in this particular film, and her performance fits, you know, it does well. I'm glad that these movies divert from Peach being like the damsel in distress and being more on the offense. Mm-hmm. And I think someone who has an aggressive tone like Anya Taylor-Joy really fits that bill. So it works. We haven't really seen where these particular characters can absolutely go to the max. So kind of seeing that progression of her character being more and more at the forefront of the fighting line is pretty obvious that they're going to keep pushing that.
Yeah. Well, what's cool about this version of Peach is that we've never seen anything like her for Peach before. So like, this is like kind of just a new area for Peach. So I'm kind of like enjoying that she's so different and actually does something, because spoilers for Super Mario Galaxy, the game, Peach is kidnapped again.
Yeah.
Seriously? I'm going to be honest. That's 90% of the game.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I know she's supposed to be kidnapped, but like, come on. She got an umbrella.
I mean, the only Mario game I've played where,
Mario Kart
started off kidnapped in this one, actually. Oh, yeah, she did. Okay, but still, she came back and she was actually helpful. It was Super Paper Mario.
Super Paper Mario. Okay, there we go. We have some opportunities for redemption.
Yeah.
And I think likewise in that same vein, you have, I have to say, for her progress, I honestly feel like Jack Black is probably the weaker performance out of everybody in this film.
He's another one that got underutilized.
Well, he got underutilized, and then he's not even allowed to be fully himself in this movie. And he's kind of the backseat villain, like, to this whole situation. He's obviously the villain from the first one, but we don't actually see him become like the escalated villain that we've seen him in before in other video games.
Mm-hmm.
He's less Bowser-esque. He's a reformed Bowser.
I don't even know if it's that. I just feel like their usage of him as a character just seemed very lackluster. Mm-hmm. And their dependency on the actor who voiced Bowser Jr.
Benny
Safdie.
Yeah.
But like the effort there was kind of a little, like, they should have given it more if they were going to do equal footing, like a 50-50 chance. But they gave Bowser Jr. and the voice actor more like 70 and gave Bowser 30.
Yeah.
In my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think, so I guess this is a question. You played Mario Galaxy 2, Eddie? Mm-hmm. So for both of you guys,
I'm just going to preface this. I played it a while back. So I haven't played it in the last maybe 5-6 years.
I was going to say is, because I believe you had said, Spencer, that Bowser Jr. is the antagonist for Mario Galaxy. Is that right?
He's in it, but like, no, it's actually kind of like this movie, but flopped.
Yeah.
Like where Bowser's more like, I'm the big bad. And then Bowser Jr. is like, I'm a side villain. The odd part about this is oddly more like Sunshine, where it's kind of, that's Bowser Jr.'s debut. Mm-hmm. And so it's more focused on him, even though Bowser's kind of still the big bad.
Oh, okay. I mean, I really do agree. They underutilized Jack Black. There was so many opportunities, especially since they kind of showed you everything in that trailer with his first, like, this is what he's been doing in his off season.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted more tiny shenanigans with Bowser. Like, put him in your pocket. Take him along. Like, let Jack
Throw Black him like be, a baseball. Something.
Let him be tiny Jack Black, because that's even more hilarious.
It's entertaining. And it kind of loses, like, at some point in time in the movie, that transition occurs and it kind of loses its comedic flair. And you're just left with, like, okay, well, now we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know if it's at the detriment of Jack Black or his inability to perform, because Jack Black is just always on. Mm. Jack Black can do just about anything. He could probably perform in a paper bag and people would go nuts.
I believe he has performed in a paper bag.
Well, either way, the fact is like, in this particular setting, they don't give him enough opportunity to have fun with this character. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of it is just very structured. It's very like point and click and shoot kind of thing. And it kind of leaves a lot to be desired, if I'm being honest. But as Amy mentioned, we do have a few newcomers, and kind of touching on Bowser, we do bring up Benny Safdie, who plays Bowser Jr.
Who was, I actually liked him. Mm-hmm. That was interesting.
I honestly thought, to be quite honest, I thought that they just used like a voice modulator on Jack Black and just had him play Bowser Jr.
It sounded like it, right?
It did. And I thought that in the trailers until I realized that they actually had somebody cast for it. I'm like, oh, because, you know, Bowser Jr., voice modulator, two for the price of one, you know? That was not the case. He was fun. He had a lot of unique energy to it. I think there could have been more development on his character. This is his first outing in this particular universe. Who knows how they're going to continue to use him. So,
yeah, and I really liked, there's a sequence farther down where we have like the kind of a little bit of their backstory where he interacts with Jack Black more like older Bowser energy and him. I was like, okay, I actually really liked that sequence because they were playing off each other really well. Yeah. And it was like full Jack Black. And then Benny's like, yeah. And I was like, I love this for both of you. This feels nice. Thank you.
On the other side of that coin, however, newer additions to this team, Brie Larson.
Yes.
I think if you saw her excitement in the Nintendo Direct where they announced it, then you actually like definitively heard her excitement as this character.
Mm-hmm.
Like she is having the best time in the world and it is very apparent. And I give kudos to Brie Larson for, you know, bringing to life a character that honestly, I don't even remember if I've ever heard her in any video game having a voice.
Most of the time they don't have voices.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm like, wait, was she in anything for video games? What?
Super Smash, Mario Kart.
Oh, you mean Rosalina?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking about Brie Larson. Hold up.
No, yeah. we just said, you know.
I was looking for things for Brie Larson.
I am putting my forehead on my microphone.
It's
just
fine.
Okay,
it's
well, while you're doing that, Brie Larson was the person I was excited about going into this. Because I was like, I know she was going to knock it out of the park. And like, she did so fantastically well that like, I was like, I wish she was in this movie more.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also a thing that irked me.
They're like, behold. And she's like, yes. And then it's like, and shh, you're over there. Just be quiet. And I'm like, how could you do that? Like when her introduction was so boss. And mm-hmm. I was like, yes, please. Yeah, yes, please. More? Oh, no. I have to wait? No. Okay, fine. I'll wait.
Yeah.
I need more. That's it. I just need more Brie Larson. She's wonderful, and I love her. And I love the fact that literally, very a la Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool, she's like, this is my jam. This is my jam. I'm here. Let's go. Don't defy me.
And speaking of not defying, I think, honestly, although it was kind of awkward and you weren't going to really truly hear his voice, one of the other people that was announced as far as a voice role that we were all excited was Childish Gambino, also known as Donald Glover, playing the voice of Yoshi. Yeah. Like, if you've seen Donald Glover in any episode of Community, you know.
He's fantastic.
He does voices. And those voices, whether if it's Batman or Cookie Monster or even Yoshi, he has done it all on Community. And you can see all those in just about every episode. The fact that we got to see this man live out some form of a Nintendo dream by voicing the character. Yeah, he had fun with that. And it looked like fun.
The callback sequence to like, how did you end up here? And there's literally just that. There are so many good little bites where he just kind of says, yes, and that's it. And you're just like, yes, yes. Okay, this is good. We're here.
Yeah. He was fun. And yeah. And I think like having him in it and having him a part of this universe, I hope that's a consistent thing. Like we don't get like the third Mario movie. And then it's like, oh, by the way, Yoshi's now voiced by, I don't know, Pauly Shore. Like, I don't know. Like,
I don't think
Pauly
Shore. I'm just
that trait.
I'm just saying, you don't know.
Sure.
You'd be like, Yoshi. And I'm like, I don't,
exactly.
No need that.
Mario. I don't know why I said like Christopher Walken for a minute. I'm so sorry.
That was scary. And yeah, like the cast is great. The cast was unique. The cast did well, minus a couple outliers. But I think what really stands out for all of us here is the story that was told. Mm-hmm. Now, as we mentioned, we previously gave you kind of the outline of this movie. Kind of going into more detail, we'll give away quite a bit, and we don't want to give it away because we want you to be able to, you know, experience it on your own. Mm-hmm. But there are a couple things that do stand as outliers and situations that do not pass the vibe check, as Spencer would say.
I've never said that.
He's okay. Always says that. He
the
says
vibe
that here.
Check. Yes. The vibe check.
He says
vibes
that
are off.
Exactly.
There
See?
We go.
So what are your issues with this particular movie?
Okay.
I'm not even going to story. I just want to know what your issues are.
Okay, I understand that Nintendo's trying to set up a cinematic universe or start in movies. Like, a whole bunch of things are rolling, and I get that. But it seems so weird that you're going to call this the Galaxy movie and then just stuff in Fox McCloud.
Yeah.
Because, like,
ham-fisted. So ham-fisted.
He ends up eating, like, Rosalina's parts because, like, the whole, like, Galaxy story, like, we're using Fox McCloud to get from place to place, like, near, like, the halfway point. And that's kind of Rosalina's role in the movie.
I mean, really, he doesn't really get them from place to place.
Listen, like, he has less screen time than Keanu Reeves does in Always Be My Maybe. I'm putting that one back in this conversation.
Uniquely enough, talking about Star Fox, Fox McCloud, he is voiced by Glenn Powell.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, this was one of those things that was announced that we were like, why?
Why you tell us?
Why, you, tell
why
us?
You tell us?
If this had been a surprise, oh my gosh.
It would have been a fun surprise.
Yeah. It would have been amazing.
I think I would have had more fun with the character outside of the character eating up time from other people.
Yeah.
That we need more development on.
Now, because
this is not a Star Fox movie. This is a Mario movie.
Now with added Star Fox.
With added Star Fox.
But we also have
marshmallow
to say,
size.
Yeah, Glenn Powell didn't do a bad job.
No.
However, they shot themselves in the foot by not letting us just be surprised and delighted by him, not only as a cameo, but as an Easter egg for anybody. And then you would have all the locals be like, who's that? Like, I know how many dads would be so excited, and moms would be so excited to be like, you guys, we're going to go home and play a game. Like, it felt, when I knew that was going to happen, it took all the wind out of my sails to be excited for that reveal. I was excited for one of the very small ships that happened to dock on the flight deck, because that was more of a surprise than he was. And I'm like, oh, that sucks for me.
Yeah, there was a couple of like obvious cameos, obvious because they show exactly what they're trying to say. There was a couple of like behind the, like, in the background kind of cameos, because I think I turned to you at one point and I'm like, I think that's so-and-so's ship. And I don't know if we verified it, but I'm pretty sure it's one of them, one of the variations.
See.
So.
Yeah, there's a lot of, so when I was saying at towards the top that it felt like I was missing something, I think that, or I was missing a lot of things. I think that was in the goal to try to make it a Nintendo cinematic universe, that they were cramming so much stuff in there that the story got lost in the, oh, look over here, oh, look over
there. There is a lot of look over here at these things in the background.
Yeah.
There's a lot of happening in this movie, and like, you know, it's kind of, oh yeah, that was her ship. Okay.
What's up?
Is it who I think it is?
Hold on.
Find the button so I can ask.
Find the button. It's Serene. I got to do it one more time?
Yeah.
No.
It was Samus Aran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But I couldn't.
But it happens for like really quick. And I'm like, I literally leaned over on Spencer. I'm like, I think that's this person's ship.
Yeah.
And Spencer woke up and was like, what?
No, I didn't. I was already processing something else. And I was like, wait, what's happening? Like,
yeah.
There's a lot going on.
There was so, and that was the, again, there were so many things going on. There was so much happening that it felt like I was almost ill-equipped to be in this movie, which is so odd.
I wouldn't say ill-equipped is the thing. Is like, If anything, like some of the stuff you're just like, oh, I know what that's from.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really like enhance the flavor of the movie.
It's kind of like the first experience when you saw Wreck-It Ralph for the first time. Mm. And they go to like the surge protector.
I got excited about that.
But not everything in there people recognized. But you, who happens to be somewhat of a retro gamer, you recognize some of them.
Almost everything.
And it's recognizable to you. I think, but not all of it was of consequence to the overarching story for Wreck-It Ralph.
However, I think to the detriment of this story, what they sacrificed for Easter eggs was not made up in story. And I think that's where the biggest problem lies for me.
Hmm. That's interesting, because I don't know if I feel like the amount of time in creating Easter egg moments took up that much time. I think the major issue was the flow of the story.
Which like, could be bogged down by a plethora of Easter egg moments. Thank you. No,
not at all. But like the main narrative of the story, the trajectory of how they get there from point A to point B, kind of the detour with Bowser, and then the awkward situation with the antagonist side of the entire story, and kind of the way the film wraps up that final act.
That final act, that ending was very, okay.
I don't think a lot, like much like this one Easter egg apparently happens in a blink of an eye. And I'm like, I saw it was on screen for like at least a second, maybe a second and a half. But like, if you count up all of that, it maybe amounts to a minute, maybe 2 minutes of like an Easter egg situation.
But that's one of like me knowing that in Toad Village around Princess Peach's castle, is that still there? Have they added something? Has something changed? Like, it's because, and I don't know if this is a me problem or this is, you know, the first movie set that like, we're putting nods in the background. Hey, wink, wink. Like, just be aware that it's there, that this was kind of like, there was so much that was stuffed in there that I was missing things and it felt like I was missing things.
So you feel like there was absolutely an overstuff.
Yes.
Not so much in how much was in it, but as far as time wise, but more so as far as the amount of things that were being shown.
Yes.
Okay. Because like the difference, and just to clarify, it wasn't because of a 3 second cameo that was in there. No. It was because there was 12 cameos in 1 second that they expected you to get.
Yeah. A perfect example, we talked about the flight deck, which we can say flight deck, you'll get there in the movie. But there were so many things that were happening on that.
That we're not going to talk about, but we get what you're saying.
But that was the thing that was all like, and here.
Yeah, I'll double agree with you on that because like I missed the thing Eddie was talking about because I was thinking, I'm like, well, wait a minute. What about this other thing? And then like that happened in a flash and I totally didn't even see it.
See?
No, again,
I'm not saying that you're saying that I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
No, I'm not wrong.
But also you said see like you were proving a point. But I hear what you're saying. Like, again, it's in the amount, not in the time of it, which I get, because it's definitely one of those things where you don't want it to become focused on where or who is in the scenes, but as part of like the whole story, how those things become more important later down the road.
Which I also think that's part of the creating the staccato, the start-stop nature of this story, where there's moments where we're like, oh, this is actually like a really nice moment, or it gets a flow where it has like a funny bit, but then it like it halts really hardcore or it can't transition in a way that's smooth to get to the next section of the story or wherever they're aiming to go. And I think I don't know if that's just because there were multiple directors
happening. That could have been part of it. I think their biggest issue was they were probably worried that they weren't still relevant enough to maintain the full attention of everybody with just those particular characters. And so they had to incorporate other elements to keep the attention and focus there. But again, you're looking at a franchise that's, again, at the most 40 years old.
Over.
Well, no, 40 years old for Super Mario Brothers. Mm. But within that 40-year time frame, other entities, other properties, other, you know, characters have come up, not just in the Mario universe, but in other universes, and they're trying to squeeze a lot of those in there for really only audiences that are probably in like the millennial generation or even the generation before or older. No, okay. younger than the millennial generation would absolutely capture and recognize. Yeah. Not everybody is like a huge Nintendo gamer, especially like for the older games.
True, but I feel like the first one, like, yeah, it did have references and stuff, but I don't feel like it was like this, where like,
yeah,
it felt kind of like an onslaught of things.
Yeah.
And that, like, I feel like they kind of leaned like too much into like, hey, see all this stuff? When, yeah, I feel like the last movie kind of handled it better.
I think the biggest thing is that, so we can easily say this didn't land in BVS territory.
Mm. No.
But it got dangerously close.
No. Okay, so if we're putting BVS on the scale, I'd have to pull it back from that, because yeah, BVS like expected you to know
everything.
Because if you don't, you're going to actually miss something. This movie more of like...
But you did miss something.
Oh.
No, not like in that sense.
Mm.
No.
Okay, I'm just...
So the difference between the two, I do agree with Spencer. This is not BVS, which is you have to come in, you have to know, you have to expect. This is you can come in with information and we're going to show you some of that information. However, we're going to give you a whole bunch of other stuff and you're like, wait, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And so it created that feeling, like I said, like I felt that I was unprepared or that there was more things that I should have been like, oh, and because of how I am just as a person as a whole, it felt like I was like, not that
so
I was.
So do you think it's a matter of you being, so then, okay, that has to ask, which mind you, just, you know, I'm trying to play devil's advocate in some of this to make sure, you know, we kind of get all sides of this conversation. But do you think it's the being ill-equipped, or do you think it's not having enough time to see all of it?
Both. So really, so really when it comes to
it. Because it sounds like then you're moving towards BVS territory.
See, but here again lies the difference. My area of expertise is more towards comic books. It's not necessarily video games, even though I've consistently tried to continue to grow in that aspect. But as we learned earlier, I didn't do a lot of that, and I still jump poorly. So really when it came to this...
Also in the video games, too.
Yes, I know. yes, it's excellent. So when it really comes to this, the fact is that it's things, even though I'm continuing to grow, it's like having that expectation that you're at least going to get some of it. Like, there's a sequence where the one song that I keep talking about that's in Mario Odyssey that I love to death, mm-hmm, and Spencer and Eddie both know what it is, it plays as background music in a fight sequence. And I got really excited because I recognized it. And I was like, oh, this is really fun. And I was like, maybe there's going to be, because of the way that the sequence is in the game, I was like, maybe there's another nod somewhere within here that I should be looking for. So I started intentionally like not paying attention to the fight sequence that's on the screen because I was looking everywhere else to see what else I was missing. Mm. On top of some of the hench people that were out, I was like, I think I know you, but I don't recognize you from where you should be.
Yeah.
And that made me, as somebody who likes to be well informed, especially if we're going into something that has such a large continued swath of a legacy, that I don't just hit the 1-2 points. I have all of that information.
And speaking of music, because we need to talk about it, because yes, you mentioned it. What were your issues specifically music-wise for this?
To use the word issues, because that makes
that's what it is,
sound like he did a bad job, which I am not saying.
Qualms? Grapes?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. I'll find you all the synonyms, Spencer.
Okay, so that sequence you're talking about with that one particular song, I liked. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
But here, okay. So I think for me, there's like kind of like a situational difference. I wasn't expecting that song because that's kind of not in the Galaxy mindset, mm-hmm, and that's fine. And like, you want to throw in some extra ones because there's definitely songs from different eras, like thrown into this movie. And I'm like, that's great. That's fantastic. But when you called it the Galaxy movie, I am expecting music from Galaxy. And yes, there are definitely motifs from some of the songs in there, but like, there were definitely parts and bits and sections of the movie where you could easily have put it in a lot more and it would have been just fine because it was kind of designed to be flexible. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, on Rosalina's ship, it's the Comet Observatory. There is a waltz song from the game that actually is made in three parts. Where it's in the game, it's based on like how far along you are in the story. But because of that, you already have like a whole like song ready to go that can fit kind of different moves from like big bombastic to like quiet. Like when Peach was walking into like a certain room in that ship, perfect point in time where they did do it there. But like there was like a whole like song that was already like, you know, you
like a just, whole suite of song of different pieces.
Could have put that in there, like. And I guess why it bothers me so much is because, like, this movie kind of represents, like, that game. And that game, like, put out quite a decent score for it being the first, like, symphonic, like, Super Mario game. And I was kind of expecting a lot more from that department.
Interesting.
That's a good expectation to have. And that was, I think, also the thing that
Spencer's experience was ruined because of
not enough music.
Not enough dun-da-duns.
I think that's also some of the questions that I had, because when it said Super Mario Galaxy, I was like, okay, it's going to be aiming at Galaxy. And then when the trailer came out where there was parts from Odyssey, I was like, whoa. Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, I also did.
And
that.
I was like, first off, I'm like, okay, no shade. I actually really enjoyed like some of the Galaxy or the Odyssey stuff. But I was like, but I expected to go in and for it to be more Galaxy and for me to be like, oh, I should play this game. Like, I should figure this out. And it was kind of like they were like, throw the things at the wall, make it beautiful, shiny bits. And I'm like, oh, but how do we get there?
Okay, so I think part of the, like, I'll call this a light issue, but I feel like they should have known this was going to be the thing coming into, like,
another
making
issue. Got it.
Games into movies type deal, is that a lot of the Mario games are real light on story, and they all start the same.
Yeah.
Bowser has kidnapped Princess Peach, and Mario has to get her back. Yep. And that's this in space for like the game.
But now it's Rosalina.
Yeah, for the game. No, she's not kidnapped. She's still there on the ship with the Lumas.
Really?
Yeah.
We could have had that.
That's the thing why it was bothersome, because like Rosalina was like there helping Mario like get from place to place. Like,
that would have been awesome.
Yeah. Which I don't fully like. Okay. I'm trying to figure out how I want to talk about this.
It's a gripe.
So part of the reason why Rosalina is not in this movie for a big chunk of it is she's kidnapped, which, okay, fine. But they could have actually just used the same idea from the game, where in the game, Bowser needed part of her ship and it became kind of incapacitated. And so Mario had to help her get the part back. And you could have swapped it back, so you had more Rosalina in the story.
But they would have had to figure out a way to make that feasible with Bowser being small and imprisoned.
I mean,
what do you mean?
You could have had Bowser
from the last movie,
but you could have had Bowser Jr. No,
yeah, I'm just
that part because he
possibly
had, I almost said Kami, and that's not his name. Comic.
Yeah,
be like, oh, we need this part. Who was also. Shout out to Kevin Michael Richardson. I think that was his name. Mm-hmm. He played Comic in the first one and in this one, and he was fun. He was teeny tiny bits. But he's playing this advisor kind of role that would have made that transition for connecting more of that the game and not just being like, we captured Princess Rosalina. Yeah.
Yeah, plus I'm just trying to put her more in the movie.
Yeah.
More Brie Larson. We need more Brie Larson.
I think we've kind of given enough as far as like issues wise. Was there anything you guys wanted to highlight? Something that really made the movie stand out for you guys? And Amy just shot straight up, so I guess Amy's going first.
Okay.
Without giving anything away.
So there are the flashback sequences that happen in this movie are highlights for me. Then two particular places, one happens with Yoshi, one happens with Bowser and Bowser Jr. They are acting as flashbacks and they carry not only so much brevity, but they give you some of that same kind of energy that the first movie had, which I think did more to progress not only their stories for how they ended up where they're at, but it gave more heart. And I really liked that.
Spencer.
Hello.
Find a good thing.
I mean,
find a good thing, because there was nothing apparently to Spencer.
I mean, the movie looks nice. So there's that. Yeah.
This is foreboding on your score that you're going to give at the end of this, just so you know. I do have to say, kind of piggybacking on Amy's, I really liked the CG work that was done in this movie, especially there's a scene where there's what looks to be puppets that are used.
Yes.
Yeah, and the puppets looked amazing.
Yes.
And they were obviously CG because they pop up again later in the mm-hmm. film. Like, the CG was just great. It was fun. Some of the callbacks within the, you know, the 8-bit era, the pixelated era, it really shined through and gave a lot of fun retro feels to it. I had a great time with the way it looked and certain elements of it as well. But I feel like the look of this movie is what absolutely kept me focused. So
agreed.
But that does bring us to our roundtable question for the evening. And that is, after the Super Mario Galaxy movie, where do you want the franchise to go next? Deeper to space, back to basics, into an entirely different Nintendo universe, or something else entirely?
Would you like me to go first?
Go right ahead.
Oh, it sounds like she already had one. I was going
to. Yeah. I read the question because it was on the notes. So really, when it comes down to it, if we're continuing to...
By the way, just one, okay?
Yeah. To expand the Mario universe, we need more Donkey Kong time. We need to go back. I need more Diddy. I need Trixie. Everyone needs Funky. No, don't sing the rest of it in your head, Spencer. Or you, Eddie. But really, it was something that is kind of hinted at, too, in this movie, because they're not really there except, like, again in a flashback. But if we're keeping with Mario, the tradition of Mario, not only is that a great addition, but it gives you space to kind of expand into that lore, that arena, and it could revitalize those properties as well as, what is it, Donkey Kong Bonanza?
Mm-hmm.
That's the latest,
the newest
game
one. Yeah,
that could get people excited.
Yeah. What about you, Spence?
Okay.
He's like, this film.
I'm going to respond to your... I am fully expecting them to just shoot them off into their own movie at this point.
Yeah,
because
at this
that's
point.
What needs to happen.
Exactly.
For me, I think they hit on something that is potentially interesting in this movie. The sequence where Mario and Luigi are stuck with Tiny Bowser.
Mm.
And I'm like, you know, this is like a good section to launch into one of my... favorite game, Super Paper Mario. It's
mm-hmm.
a pretty good one. But that's also one where Bowser and Mario are stuck in situations where they have to work together quite often.
Aww.
And then also Peach and Luigi are there too, and they're just like off on an adventure. And
for that.
Yeah, like it leads itself up to like lots of comedic moments. And plus that specific game had an actual good story, which... doesn't super happen very often for Mario. So I'm like, that would be a pretty good move right there. They'd still have to do quite a bit in adaptation because, like, there's certain things that couldn't translate, but it's a good candidate.
Hmm.
Okay.
So I have one, but I have also a smaller short film version that I really want to see because I don't know if they'll really dive into this, but I really want to see Luigi's Mansion done properly.
We got
a small teeny tiny taste of it in the first movie, and again, we're huge fans of Charlie Day can honestly do great.
He can carry,
yeah, with this particular role. He can continue to do great things. So Luigi's Mansion is absolutely where, yeah, I think, you know, if at anything, just a short film, like one of those shorts that they do.
I mean, it has to be on their like horizon, because that would be crazy not to.
I don't know, I'm just saying.
It would be one of the
He is player number two, so just saying.
But it's Luigi, and he's good at it.
He's very good at it.
But my actual answer, the direction I feel they need to go. They need to go in the same route with the... And mind you, it's super relevant right now, so if they did it now, it would probably do so well. You know, there's a great series on HBO that does it. There's a series on NBC that does it. Like, they have to do it. They have to do Dr. Mario.
Yes!
Because they have The Pitt right now on HBO. They got Chicago Med over at NBC. I mean, can you imagine him coming in, jamming these big old pills down someone's throat? It's a me, Mario. And then he goes, stat, give him 10,000 milligrams of this.
Why does that sound like an SNL skit waiting to happen?
Do you remember that time Pedro Pascal was in that Mario Kart skit?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
See, this would be great as a Dr. Mario.
I'm just saying, I feel like Dr. Mario is the way to go.
Lauren, if you guys pick it up, just know we had it over here. We're thinking about it.
So wrapping this thing up, let's go ahead and go around the table talking about whether the film passes or fails and how many monocles. We're going to start with Amy.
Okay, so this film begrudgingly passes.
Begrudgingly?
It's not for lack of trying. Let's be honest. This is a popcorn film, and it's really hard for me to look at it and not want to hold it to the standards and the heart that came with the first film. The story,
in spite of Chris Pratt,
in spite of everything Chris Pratt tries to do. Really, when it came down to it, it is overstuffed and not in the best way that you had hoped. Again, there are moments in here. It's going to keep you engaged. It's going to keep you watching. If you have children, they're definitely going to be watching and they're going to want to go home and they're going to want to play Mario games. But when it comes down to it, if you're looking for the same heart that the first film had, it seems to be a little bit lacking here, and it's not without the effort of the team behind it. Everybody that did the animation, all of that work, kudos, props, mad props and shout outs. I think the story is what made it kind of suffer here. And so for that, unfortunately, I'm going to give this a 3.5 out of 5 monocles. And that's being generous.
Spencer.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with it kind of passes. I mean, there is a story here, but man, it's really like fluffy. Like there's no meat on those bones. It is what it is. And it's a point A to B for the most part. I mean, the movie looks great. The voice actors did a great job. Mm-hmm. But I guess my real problem comes in to, like, this is an adaptation-ish, like, of a game and then some extra stuff thrown in there. And extra stuff thrown in there is fine. But it feels like you kind of, I don't know, there wasn't enough in this movie for me for this to really be memorable. Like, I feel like if you flash forward like 3 years, I will definitely remember the first one a lot more than I'll remember the second one, which is probably not a great sign of how things are going. So,
yeah,
especially when you compare it with like Sonic.
Mm.
He's got 3 movies with a 4th coming out. I remember distinctly all 3 of those movies because they were actually surprisingly well written after, you know, that whole trailer fiasco. So for me, this really, you know, there needs to be some work done. So I'm going to give it a 2.5 out of 5.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, we're on the spread.
So as far as myself, barely by the skin of its teeth, it is, you know, it does pass as a story, does complete what it's trying to build, however shoddy the house may be. It does complete the story and it does give us the resolution to the bits of story and narrative that it's presenting in the film. This is absolutely one of those types of movies where you want to go see and you're going to want to expect bigger and better things than the last one. But unfortunately, it's not going to come. It's not going to, you know, happen. And you have to be okay with that. This movie, as Amy so aptly put, is definitely a popcorn movie. It's a movie you're going to go and see with your family and everyone's going to laugh and have a good time and probably lead to you explaining more about, you know, certain characters that you see on screen, certain situations that happen in the movie and which game they correlate to. But outside of that, movie's not going to be all that memorable, unfortunately. So for myself, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. I think it does well as far as entertaining, but as far as the movie and progressing the overall universe, it kind of falls a little short of that trajectory. So, but that about wraps up another awesome episode of the Filmlosophers. Remember, you can check us out over at our website at filmlosopherspodcast.com. There we got allegedly over 300 episodes, everything from action, anime, comedy, suspense, thrills, and chills. If you're looking for it, we got it. Head on over to our website at filmlosopherspodcast.com. You can also check us out wherever socials are, and that's facebook.com/filmlosophers and Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at filmlosophy101. We're also over at Blue Sky at filmlosopherspodcast.social. Over at Instagram is where we post all of our hijinks, especially our extra show content, such as Spencer's Big Score and Amy's Jane Unseen, which can be found where?
The only place it's ever lived, which is at Jane Unseen.
Running out of air.
Instagram and Instagram only. And really, at this point, I might just make a carousel slide for all the movies that these guys have rejected. Because even some of these, I'm rejecting myself. It's a shame.
And yet she's serving it to us, expecting us to take
content.
You can also check us out wherever podcasts are streaming, and that's iTunes, Libsyn, Player FM, Audioboom, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, and iHeart, and Amazon Music. Tune into Heart's Desire on any one of those platforms. Look for us there at The Filmlosophers. And give us a like or a subscribe. Did you see the Super Mario Galaxy movie? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Did you agree with Spencer? Do you feel like Spencer needs to keep his opinion to himself? Let us know in the comments section. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section, and we love reading those, especially Spencer. And also, if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star review. We've earned it.
We have.
We've stuck with him so far, so yes, please.
Stuck with who so far?
Yeah, think about it.
Okay. Of course, we got a great we had a great time with you tonight, and we're so glad you were a part of this. So we hope to see you next week when we drop our next episode. And if you haven't had a chance to, the movie's just released in theaters, so go check it out. Have a great time. Take your family, take your friends, and let us know what you think. So from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
I'm managing intern manager Amy.
Class dismissed.